Okay, well, hello. This is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you are on MisplacedDraws.com, where music comes to life. And one of the many cool things about doing a site like this is coming across new bands that I may not be familiar with, but are putting out some really great music. One such band are The Statistics from British Columbia, Canada, and they have a great new record out called The Robson Street Hymns. And I have both brothers with me today. Welcome, Darby and Aaron Yule. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us.
My pleasure. And first off, for those who haven't heard The Statistics, how would you guys describe your band?
We are an Americana and indie rock band from Prince George, BC, Canada. We're two brothers. We kind of play, like most of our style is based around, we grew up playing punk rock, and then moved into playing more singer-songwriter kind of material. And then as that kind of progressed, we basically created like what we would call our very own like kind of sound, I guess, as we would say. So that's kind of where it all started, was punk rock into Americana and folk, and that's kind of that's what we do.
Now, did you guys always play together, or were you in separate bands and then eventually came back and played together?
Well, I mean, like, we're brothers. So Aaron and I actually played Aaron's been playing since he was, like, six, and I've been playing since I was about 10, 11, and we just always played together. Our dad plays in, like, a rockabilly band. He's played for years, and this is something we were always, like, around, so we decided, like, we wanted to be, like, Backstreet Boys when we were young. Like, you know, we wanted to be, we've always wanted to play in bands. I remember, like, I bet you I was in grade, like, two or three talking about wanting to start bands with Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just always been something we've always wanted to do. And, like, really, we started our first band, how old were we? We were, like,
12 or 13?
Yeah, no, not even. Aaron was, like, 11. But no, I was, like, 11. And
we were pretty young.
Yeah. We played, to give you an idea, we played for our elementary school dance, the first show we ever did. And I yelled at all the kids in the front row for, like, making noise and dancing. That's how young we were. So, yeah, no, it's just always been a thing for us, you know?
And, you know, the tradition of brother bands goes back a long way, and, you know, but there's just something about the harmonies of, you know, sibling voices together that you just can't beat.
Yeah, it's true.
And just kind of one of those, like, the Everly Brothers all the way back, you know, like,
yeah,
it's pretty great.
And now, as you guys started young, as you were growing up, who were your influences? Who were you guys listening to?
Well, like we said, the Backstreet Boys, we were, like, really, really young. but I think as we grew older, we got really into Green Day. I think it was the first one that we both really felt like was, like, a major influence on us. I mean, that's basically how I learned to play guitar, right, and songwrite, was through American Idiot. I actually sat down and learned the entirety of American Idiot all the way through, and that was how I learned how to play through, like, a song and write songs and stuff. So that was probably, like, our first major influence. Growing up, and then as we got older, it varied a whole lot more, and started to be people like Dave Haas and the Gaslight Anthem,
City in Color.
Like as we grew up, kind of our tastes like changed. Punk rock was going to be like a major part of like definitely sitting in like our hearts, I think, for both of us. But as we grew up, it definitely became more those other bands that I just mentioned. And we started wanting to write that kind of stuff, too. I mean, like I said, like, in high school, we were playing, like, in ska bands and, like, rock bands, and as we moved into other stuff, like, Springsteen, huge influence on us.
Yeah.
But that's something we've been in, like, the past, like, 5-6 years, really, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny, because two of the ones that you mentioned there, you know, Gaslight Anthem and Springsteen, you know, I'm out on the East Coast of the U.S., I'm in Connecticut, you know, Stone's throw from New York and New Jersey, and listening to your record, the very first thing that came to mind was Brian Fallon, lyrically.
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm like,
awesome.
Then when I looked and saw where you guys are from, I'm like, yeah, they got to pick up some Gaslight Anthem or Brian Fallon out there, because I hear it through these songs, and, you know, it's really good.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, and it's one of these things where, like, where we're from, those guys are, like, Springsteen's obviously known everywhere. Mm-hmm. But, like, Brian Fallon and Dave Haas aren't, like, no one knows who those two are
mm-hmm.
Where we're from. And it's super, like, we actually went and saw Gaslight Anthem years ago and actually had the chance to meet Brian Fallon.
Oh, nice.
And it was awesome. It was just like, I mean, he's a pretty quiet guy from everything. It was just like a total fan. Like, I think I gave him our, like, CD at, like, the time, and I was like, here, Brian Fallon, have my CD. And he's like, thanks. I keep all of these. At the time, I was really excited. Now I'm like, oh, he definitely didn't listen to that. But yeah, no, he's totally, Brian Fallon, especially, like, Gaslight, huge influence, especially over, over, like, our lyrics and all that stuff.
I mean, I hear, when I was listening to your record, I hear a lot of his solo work, you know, in your lyrics, you know, which I thought was really cool, you know, kind of a different spin on his influence.
Yeah, and I mean, we're huge fans of his solo act, for sure, like.
And, you know, I got to say, as I was listening through Sparks in the Night, purposeful Springsteen references in there with Headed for the Promised Land, Let's Drive All Night.
Yeah. Good catch. No, that was a huge... Yeah, no, I purposely did that for sure. That was a big thing. Just wanted to throw... You know, like, I mean, like, I kind of felt like it was a bit of, like... I felt like the theme was kind of Springsteen-y, and I thought it was
good to
kind of pay tribute to that, right?
It's a very Gaslight Anthem thing to do, to put it in the line like that, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, you know, like the one I was referencing was Thunder Road, and like, that's one of my all-time favorite songs. I love Thunder Road, but he turned 70 today, huh? Springsteen.
I know,
like,
how crazy is that?
Yeah. I didn't even, it's super weird to think of him as 70 years old and still able to, like, slide along like a stage floor and stuff like that. That's weird.
Yeah, still play. I'm far younger than that, and there's not much I can do for 4 hours every night.
No. I mean, like, I love playing, but I don't know as much as that guy.
Yeah, and this record, the Robson Street Hymns, you guys wrote it and recorded it a while ago. What's the story behind the time between when you recorded it and it being released this month?
It's just been a process. I think that one of the things Aaron and I have really decided with this record was, like, we're an indie band. We're completely, like, up until this record, we were completely self-funded. We got a very generous grant from our province of BC to help record this record. But even so, it was still like, we went into this record really believing that we were going to do everything right, even if it took extra time and money and effort. It was a huge portion of what we do, what we did with this record. We didn't want just to have things like cutting corners on like costs or time or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to make the best record we possibly could. And so, unfortunately, when you are trying to do that and you don't have like major label or even indie label money, you got to wait. You know, like the way I think Aaron puts it is, you know, what was
quality,
it?
Speed, or
oh no. Anyways, basically, you have to always choose between quality, speed, or cheap, right? You have to choose two of those. You can either do quality and cheap, but it's, you know, it's not going to be fast. And so that's what we chose, is that we were trying to make this work on a budget that we could manage, while also making sure that it was the best thing that we could put out with our resources. And it ended up taking 2 years. And luckily, it ended up being what we wanted it to be at the end. Like, it's something that you're proud of. You know, these records don't go anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's with you for the rest of your life. It's in your own best interest to make the best thing you can.
But now, with the time that's passed, are you kind of already past these songs? You know, even though the record's only been out for a couple of weeks, you know, are you guys ready for fresh material?
you know, you always are. It's,
it's
not, you know, even if the fastest record, you know, you're talking a minimum of 6 or 8 months of production between when you start and when you finish, right? And, you know, in 6 or 8 months, you can make some, you can go through some serious life changes and have some things happen to you. So, you know, just because these songs are a little older, I wouldn't say that we're sick of them at all. I wouldn't say that we're past them. They're always going to be part of us. And we're just getting to share them with people now.
But, like, that being said, we definitely have been writing, like, I already have basically a new album written.
You know? Great.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where, like, you're always thinking about whatever's coming next, you know? And I think that's the way, like, that's the mindset you have to have when you do this stuff. But that being said, like Aaron said, it doesn't mean you care about them less. It doesn't mean that they're not a part of you and all this stuff. It's just, it's kind of like you're giving a past part of yourself, like you're putting it out there. Whatever you're working on today isn't that anymore. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And now you guys have released a couple singles from the record. You know, we'll talk about a couple of the songs. True North, I think, is a song that just grabs the first time you hear it. And every time I listen to it, it just seems to me like it's a song in search of a movie to be the soundtrack to. It's like it just seems like it needs to be in a movie or a TV show or something just because it has a cinematic quality to it.
Yeah. If you know somebody who's making a movie, we'd be happy to.
No, but that's great to hear. Right? I mean, it's a storytelling song for sure. It's definitely one that we decided we're going to be more of a story to.
And now, when it comes to writing, do you guys both write together? Does one of you do the majority of music, one do the lyrics? How do you usually divide that up?
So like, I tend to write most of, like, the lyrics and, like, the basic structure and melody and that kind of stuff. And then I tend to take it over to Aaron afterwards. And he'll write, like, the drum parts and all that stuff, but he almost plays more of a producer role. We do write, like, when I say that we do, like, the singer-songwriter thing, it really does, like, the process is very similar to that. We're, like, I write pretty much everything on an acoustic guitar. I go through, I make up, like, a melody first. I go through it, and then I have a bunch of lyrics written down on my phone that I just kind of think up during the day, and then just kind of, like, put it all together. And then normally Aaron comes in and goes, okay, well, this melody is obviously not very strong, or this structure needs a bit of, like, a change. And then when it comes to, like, arrangement, it definitely, I think, becomes a lot more even. Mm-hmm. I'd say Aaron tends to start at that point helping me arrange a lot more, and he tends to be, you know, he's just, like, a lot better at, like, synthesizers and stuff than I am, and drumming and that kind of stuff, whereas, like, at that point, it's, like, I've kind of written the guitar parts, I've done all the, maybe we'll write, like, the bass parts together, but it's really common more that Aaron comes in kind of second half of, like, the song.
And it's funny. One of the songs I think that kind of stood out to me on the record, especially, you know, kind of hearing you guys speak earlier about starting off as a punk band and that Green Day influence, Girls My Age sounds perfect on this record, but listening to it, it feels like it once started as kind of like a Blink 182 type punk song.
No, that's,
and the original
that's really odd that you would mention that, because, you know, it actually didn't start that way at all.
Really? Like,
it actually started as, it was almost a ripoff of Can't Hurry Love by
I could see that too. Yeah,
that was the Dreams. Yeah, so it started very, very Motowny. But I totally get how you would get the Blink 182 vibe out of it. Also, a big one of our influences. It was a lot more upbeat and almost ironically positive in a way, because it's such the song's almost self-deprecating in a lot of ways, right? Like, to have that really upbeat do 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 do, like, it was. Actually, in a way, very similar conceptually to Say Anything, one of our favorite bands when we were younger, always wrote songs like that were really, really ironic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be like, whoa, or something like that if I say anything. Yeah. I didn't think about that, but you're probably right. Like,
yeah,
it's like that kind of concept where it's like, yeah, super ironic at first. And then it, basically we got into the studio and our producer, Aliza, was like, no, no, you can't do it like that. Like, you got to change that.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so
I love Aliza.
Connor, a good producer tells him you suck.
Well, you know, that's what you need to hear. That's what makes a great record, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's their job. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that she did that with that song because, yeah, I think it definitely had like that. Yeah, there's a lot of, which I guess really brings back like that punk thing and like the Blink-182 thing again, right? Because like the irony and the poppiness of that kind of is from that thing. It's just awesome.
Yeah, because you can tell, like at its heart, it's a great pop song that's, you know, kind of turned into this other, you know, singer-songwriter kind of thing as well. So again, it's the mark of a good song when it works in a couple different genres like that.
Yeah.
And now, what's next for you guys? I see you have a couple of tour dates up. Will you be doing a more extensive tour, you know, getting into the States at all? You know, what's coming up for you guys?
Yeah, we're hoping to do a more extensive tour in the spring, along with festivals and that kind of stuff. We'll have to see with festivals because most of the festival season doesn't really, like, applying doesn't come until later. We'd actually wanted to get into the States a lot earlier than we did, but it just kind of didn't work out this time around.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
It's really tough.
It's very difficult for Canadian bands just to get into the States
on,
like, a proper working visa. Because it's too bad, but...
Yeah.
What are you going to do, right? But, yeah, so the plan is to be basically out all year next year playing and hitting cities and that kind of stuff. And, you know, just getting out there.
Well, that's great. You can't wait to be able to hear some of this stuff live. And guys, again, thank you so much for taking some time to talk today. And, you know, it really is a great record. It's available on streaming services everywhere. Do you guys have, like, physical copies people can order off your website as well?
No, not yet. We're mainly pushing towards streaming and downloading right now.
But physical copies will be coming soon.
Yeah, they're on their way. Yeah.
So. Great. But like I said, I've checked out myself on the streaming sites. It's up there on all of them, so be sure to give it a listen. It's the Robson Street Hymns from the Statistics. And Darby and Aaron, thank you guys so much. Keep in touch. Whenever you have tour dates, anything like that coming out, feel free to shoot them over and we'll get the word out. Really is a great record. I wish you guys a lot of luck with it. And hopefully we can catch you on the road at some point.
We really appreciate that, man. Thank you for having us. This is great. Like, we really, really appreciate all the nice words and everything, too. Thank you.
And anytime, guys. We'll talk soon.
All right. Okay. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
You.